Well, so thank you so much for praying for us. It's great to gather with you this morning. My name's Pete, as Steve said. It's a pleasure to open up God's Word together. Before we have our Bible reading, though, a few words of introduction. I quite like a rags-to-riches story. I don't know about you. And this lady here, do you know who this is? Indeed, Oprah Winfrey. She's a real rags-to-riches story, true story. She was born into America, into terrible poverty, abused as a child, had a pretty terrible time, and then in her late teenage years, early 20s, had some pretty big breaks, and ended up being the TV personality we know today. Now, from rags to absolute riches, she's now worth a reported $3.8 billion. Rags to riches. And we like these kind of stories because they give us hope. They give us hope that maybe something like that might happen to us. Maybe not crazy monetary things, but maybe some of the difficult, troubling circumstances of our life might change for the better. And today in the Bible, we have another true rags-to-riches story. And at the heart of that story is a God who can transform our circumstances. A God who can give us hope. We're continuing our series in Genesis, looking at chapters 40 and 41. And we're going to hear a little bit of chapter 41 read in just a moment. But just to sort of, you know, catch you up with the story if you've not been with us, we're looking at Joseph, technicolor dream coat kind of guy. And we join the story with him in prison. And it's way after he's had the kind of, he had two dreams back in chapter 37, where it was dreamt that he would, that his family would end up bowing down to him. We're actually past the point of the cupbearer and the baker having their dreams in chapter 40, which come true. And now in chapter 41, we meet Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, where Joseph is, and he has two dreams of Joseph, two dreams of the cupbearer and baker, and now two dreams of Pharaoh. And we join him as he wakes up in the morning in a bit of a cold sweat. Now, I'm going to hand over to Pete, and he's going to come and read for us from chapter 41. Over to you, Peter.
So the reading is taken from Genesis chapter 41, verses 8 to 40, and that's on page 45 of the Church Bibles. So Genesis 41, verses 8 to 40, on page 45. In the morning, Pharaoh's mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. He told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now, a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream, and things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile when out of the river there came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man? One in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh, thanks for reading for us. So, we've got this rags to riches story in Joseph. But what's it teaching us now, in the 21st century, thousands of years later? Well, the timeless truth of these chapters is that despite present trouble, God is in control to keep his promises. Despite present trouble, God is in control to keep his promise of blessing. I'm going to take each one of those in turn. So despite present trouble, we need to understand how desperate Joseph's situation is. And being honest, he's had a pretty rough time of it up to this point in the narrative. Rock bottom, rags, is not an understatement. You know, we often think of Joseph as a sort of bit of a light-hearted children's story. But think about it. Back in chapter 37, Joseph narrowly avoids being murdered by his own brothers, only for them to make money out of him, selling him into slavery, taking away his freedom, being sent off to a foreign land. His freedom taken away, forced to work. And then maybe things get a little bit better under Potiphar, as we heard last week. You know, he kind of gets in charge of the household, but then falsely accused of rape, thrown in prison. It's pretty rock bottom. And he's there for years. And you can see, if you flick back to chapter 40, verse 15, just back over the page, page 44, you can see what Joseph thinks about his life thus far. Chapter 40, verse 15. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in prison. Injustice. That's Joseph's conclusion to his story so far. He's lived a life that's just simply not fair. He starts his story low and in trouble. And I wonder if you ever feel like this. Feel like you're in trouble. Feel like life's really hard. Feel like life's maybe not fair. There are members of the church family right now going through some pretty difficult things. And for some of us, you know, it's terminal illnesses, family breakdowns, others, tricky situations at work that just don't resolve. Difficulties with our children in their schools, plenty of other things. And maybe as you look at your life, you think, where is God? What is he doing? Doesn't seem to make sense. You know, do you feel like you've got a friend in Joseph when he says, look, I've done nothing to deserve this, and yet here I am in a bit of a pit? Well, Joseph knows what it's like to have a really hard time. But all the way through chapter 41, despite his trouble, Joseph really knows that God is in control. We don't have time to look back at chapter 40, but chapter 40 gives this idea too. You know, the idea is pretty simple. Two people, Pharaoh's cupbearer, Pharaoh's baker, they're both in prison, they both have a dream, and they tell Joseph what the dreams mean. And Joseph says, look, this is what God says they mean. Two interpretations. And then the dreams come true exactly as Joseph has said, just as God has revealed to him. And what it shows Joseph, what it shows us, is that God is in control. When God says something is going to happen, it happens. And then in chapter 41, we get a bit of a repeat, a dream, an interpretation, and then it happens. Pharaoh has two dreams, and he wakes up in a bit of a cold sweat, anxious. He doesn't know what's going on, and it turns out neither do all the wise men of Egypt. And at which point, a bystander, his cupbearer, is kind of standing around, and he goes, hold on, this reminds me of something. He has a bit of a light bulb moment. He goes, reminds me of someone. What's his name? Begins with J. Jerry? No. Justin? No. Joseph! I remember there was this Hebrew lad in prison, and he was able to interpret dreams. And so Joseph sent for, get him out of the dungeons, and he's presented before Pharaoh. Chapter 41, verse 15, Pharaoh says, "I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." And here's Joseph's moment, okay? He's, you know, this is his moment to get out of prison, right? You know, "I'll tell you a dream if you get me out of prison." But he doesn't say that. Instead, beginning of verse 16, he gives a bit of a saucy reply. It's a bit risky, I think. He says, "I cannot do it." Joseph really wants Pharaoh to know that it's not him who can do this, it is God. Pharaoh's a really powerful man. He's basically treated like a god in Egypt. And Joseph wants him to know that it is God who knows what is in his dream. He says to him, "I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." And so Pharaoh tells Joseph the dream about the skinny cows and the fat cows and the skinny corn and the healthy corn. And Joseph says, verse 25, "The dreams of Pharaoh, they're one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do." And he hammers the point home, verse 28. He says almost exactly the same thing. "It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do." Despite all he's suffering, Joseph's trust in God and his control is totally unwavering. And Joseph gives the interpretation, right? He says, look, there's going to be these 7 years of absolute abundance, tons of food, followed by 7 years of total disaster, famine. And to really hammer the point home, he's not giving up on this. He says, verse 32, "The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon." Joseph doesn't lose sight, does he, of the fact that God is in control. And Joseph here is a model to you and to I of what it looks like to trust God, to know that he's in control, even when we face some pretty difficult circumstances. We're to trust that God's in control. Now, that's easy for me to say from up here, isn't it? And sometimes when times are hard, when times are troubled, we think, yeah, but why? If God is in control, what's going on? I don't get it. Why me? Why now? And right here in chapter 40 to 41, Joseph doesn't actually know yet why. Later on, yes, he's going to find out at the end of the story what God was doing. But Joseph is such a model for us because right now, he doesn't know. But he does trust God. And so are we. We are to trust God, even when things are really difficult. And I think the reason that we can trust God, the reason that Joseph could trust God, is because he trusted that God is in control to keep his promise of blessing. I said at the beginning of this story that it's a rags-to-riches story, and so far we've only really seen the rags of Joseph's life. Well, it's time for the riches, and they're pretty considerable. Having told Pharaoh what these dreams mean, Joseph gives Pharaoh some of the strategy to deal with it. He says, right, look, you need to appoint someone to save up food during the good years so there's enough left over in the bad years so that everyone can eat. Pretty simple. And here comes the turn in the story, verse 39, just over the page. Verse 39, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has made all this known to you, well, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace. And all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you.'" What? Are you joking? Can you imagine his advisors standing round? You know, these kind of wise men who have kind of stood by Pharaoh year after year. And they're like, what? him? Hold on. He's a foreign slave who's a convicted criminal. What? Well, Pharaoh goes through with his plan because he notices something about Joseph. That Joseph knows this God who seems to know things, who seems to be in control. And so he gives Joseph a whole load of riches and responsibilities, and they're quite something. You know, verse 42, Joseph gets Pharaoh's own signet ring. He gets a fine robe and a gold chain. Verse 43, a chariot with people following ahead of the chariot going, make way. Can you imagine? He's been enslaved in prison for years, and now he's clothed in finery with people saying, get out of my way. But that's not it. Verse 45, he gets a high-profile wife. And verse 50, two sons are born to him. Things are going so well now for Joseph. He's hit the height of his riches. So much so that in verse 51, Joseph names his firstborn son Manasseh, which means forget. He says, verse 51, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. So good is what happens to Joseph that he can forget all the rubbish and all the difficulty and all the trouble of before. Rags to riches. And the details show us that what God is actually doing is keeping his promise of blessing, keeping his promises. You see, back in chapter 37, Joseph has these two dreams that his family are going to bow down to him. And so far in the story, you're thinking, not really sure how on earth that's going to happen. You're a foreign slave, convicted criminal. But now we're starting to see, hold on, I can see how this might work out. And in next week's chapter, in 2 weeks' time, in the next chapter of Genesis, we're going to see his brothers come and bow down to him. God's promise to Joseph in his dream is coming true. And actually, even in this chapter, there's a little hint. If you go back to verse 43, what is it that the people in front of the chariot shout? Well, they shout, make way. But if you look at the footnote, the little C, the same Hebrew word can be understood as them saying, bow down. Such a wonderful, beautiful little hint that God is fulfilling his promises, keeping his promises. See, at the center of this rags-to-riches story is a God who is in control. Despite the trouble and difficulty, he's in control to keep his promises. And as we're going to see in the weeks to come, he's going to fulfill not just his promises to Joseph, but the big promises that he's made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob throughout this whole book of Genesis. God is keeping his promises, and this is a huge turning point in that story. And this idea that God's in control to keep his promises can be a huge comfort to us as we face trouble and difficulty today. Now, this passage points to God who's in control. Because you see, the big story of the Bible is a rags-to-riches story, a bit like Joseph's. Our world is in trouble. Some of us are feeling that more than others right now. But our world is not just in trouble with its circumstances. Our world is in trouble in its salvation. See, the biggest trouble in each one of our lives is our broken relationship with God. Naturally, our position before God is not rich. We are in the pits. We're sinners who reject God. We're in rags in our circumstances, but also in our salvation. But as you go on in the Bible, you get to see the most beautiful story, that God promises that he can sort it all out. He can take us from the rags of our sin to the riches of salvation. Now, the riches of being a part of God's family. You see, if we trust in Jesus and his forgiveness, we can be elevated to a position far above the second in command of Egypt. We can be made sons and daughters of the living God. And not given a signet ring and a kind of a royal robe of Egypt, but a royal robe of righteousness, of being part of God's family. The rags of our sin forgiven. And if that's true for you, if you've gone to the rags to riches in your salvation, then God promises that one day he'll also transform the rags of our circumstances. For everyone who trusts in Jesus, there is a place in heaven. A place that Revelation 21 says has no crying or pain. A place of abundant joy and life. Like I said, people in our church right now experiencing some seriously difficult things. But God promises there'll be a day when, like Joseph, we will forget all of those troubles. Now, the glorious riches of our future are not worth comparing with the trouble that we face now. We sung at the 9:15 that famous hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Christian, you can sing that song, you can say that to your heart, that it is well with you despite the trouble, because you have a God who is in control, who will keep his promise of blessing. Let me pray that we would trust that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who's able to transform lives, able to transform Joseph's life from rags to riches, able to keep your promises. And we thank you that you can transform the rags of our sin by the power of your grace to the riches of being part of your family. And we thank you that you can transform the rags and troubles of our circumstances and will one day bring us to a glorious heavenly future. Please, Lord, when we find it difficult, help us to trust these things and to trust that you are in control. In Jesus' name, amen.